This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, games this year. Notre Dame-Miami is the night one on ABC, and then South Carolina-Virginia Tech. I mean, there's a lot of hype around South Carolina this year with Lenore Sellers, and Virginia Tech, I think, kept a decent amount of talent from a massively disappointing season a year ago. So,
well, and then, you know, that could be a look ahead game for Va Tech. They got Diego coming to Blacksburg in the revenge game. So we're just going to leave Stanford Hawaii out of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got the late night at Hawaii. Did they move that to Friday night? No, that's still
Saturday. They're showing it on Saturday. Oh, that's week zero. Never mind. That's week zero. Let's see. Thursday, do we have anything? We got Nebraska, Cincinnati. Sign me up.
Boise goes to South Florida. That actually could be kind of a fun game.
Of course, this will all be tied between my MUS travel schedule, because the boys will be, I think, in week two at that point, and I'll be sweating somewhere in a high school press box without air conditioning. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Tim and I want to discuss, John Oliver apparently has a plan to save one minor league baseball team. Obviously, with the Redbirds being here, Tim having worked for a minor league baseball team, we feel quite confident that we can weigh in on this very topic. Also, big blow for horse racing. Nobody gets in their way quite like horse racing. Well, maybe Major League Baseball. And
boxing.
More. Yeah, that's true. And boxing's kind of become its own thing. Like, I've noticed people still get rich in it. I've noticed that.
Where's this money coming from?
I think
someone explain to me the dynamics of boxing.
It's got to be one of two things. It's either pay-per-view or money laundering, one or the other. And I'm not really weighing one way or the other. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There are lots of different types of moms out there. Working moms, stay-at-home moms, stepmoms, grandmoms, even pet moms. It doesn't matter what type of mom is in your life. They all want diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can buy mom much bigger, brighter diamonds during the Mother's Day diamond sale going on now. You can choose from perhaps the 2-carat lab-grown diamond stud earrings that start at $7.99 while supplies last. There's also the To the Moon and Back gift set, which includes a To the Moon and Back diamond pendant and a 24-carat gold-dipped rose for only $199. The Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets are always a hot-ticket item. You can get one or stack a few for a bolder look. They're available in white, yellow, and rose gold. They also have the perfect gift for your pet mom, a diamond paw necklace that starts at $119. Also, make sure you check out the Diamond Essentials Collection. It's a classic collection of crafted natural diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, and bracelets, featuring perfectly matched diamonds with excellent proportions to ensure you get a much bigger and brighter sparkle. They can start as little as $2.99 all the way up to $99.99. Free financing also at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can take 12 months to pay up at 0% interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers with a Mother's Day sale going on now. 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. The house settlement. Yeah, I know it's Tim's favorite talking point. Ross Dellinger over at Twitter added this addendum to his story that he wrote about last week. Conference officials are sharing with members and gaining approval of a revision to the House roster limits to grant schools the option to grandfather athletes. In a new concept, it also permits athletes who leave slash are not retained by the current school to keep grandfather status at a new school. So to break it down for everybody, here's all that matters. The federal judge essentially told all of the schools, if you do not grandfather in roster limits, I'm throwing it out, and this thing's going to trial. The settlement's done. I'm out. The schools, a lot of which are saying, like, this is a non-starter for us, it feels like this is going to be a compromise. So the compromise would be, okay, even if you can't keep roster limit status at our school, we'll allow you to keep the status and go to another school. Tim, this feels like gambling with the federal judge, man. Like, how is that any different? Because, right, they would have the same status anyway, right? Like, so if they leave the school, how does this change anything? To me, this is just kind of like lawyering and trying to repackage the same idea.
My question is, we're going to, what, 105 in college football? Is that right?
George, can you look it up? I thought it was 80. I thought we're at 105, no. And it was down to 80, because that's the other thing.
We were at 85 scholarships.
I know, but I thought it was 85.
But we're also getting rid of walk-ons, which I never understood.
I think it's because if you are on the roster, you get paid. That is my understanding.
Now, in the New Deal, correct?
Correct. That's my understanding. So that's why they wanted to cut the numbers down for that.
New roster limit will be 105.
Okay.
But there is now going to be scholarship opportunity for 1 through 105.
Okay.
Instead of it having a cap at 80.
But I also believe, George, see, I don't know if you could look this up. I think the leagues might have their own numbers.
They do. Teams currently roster usually between 120 and 140.
But I think
that ranges from league to league.
So Michigan had, I'm reading through Ross's article here. So the football roster cap is going to be 105, and there are programs who have as many as 140. Michigan 140, Ohio State believed to have 170. I know Notre Dame has had a big walk-on program for years. Nebraska has a big walk-on program. So that's what I was curious about, because we're so late in the process. If this would ultimately be a situation where they would say, you got to slowly pare it down, but because it's coming out now, you can keep those, walk-ons or whatever it is, not really cap the roster. I did see our boy Cignetti was apparently complaining the other day because some teams he believes are going all in. He mentioned Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, spending north of $40 million on their roster. That dude needs it. Pipe down.
He is a tremendous front runner.
Like, congrats on your run to the playoff. I was a fan until you started running your mouth and then you punted inside Notre Dame territory down 24 points in the playoff.
I really wasn't even a fan before that. I would watch him do the same thing at JMU. They were tremendous front runners at JMU, and they get popped by some, they'd get.
Well, they had a college game day, and yeah, they lost.
Yeah. And then a lot of poor mouthing excuses. The problem that I have with this is it seems very clear to almost anyone with a brain what is happening here. And it's essentially whether or not this lasts forever. Because I think I actually think amongst some people in college athletics, they understand this thing will probably be challenged at some point, and our track record in the courts is not great. But at least buys us some time. The problem is, if they do not back down on this one issue, the whole thing is going to get thrown out. And Tim, my understanding is that just means this bad boy goes to trial. And if it goes to trial, it legitimately bankrupts everything. They're trying to get out of, like, instead of paying, I believe the numbers are around like $25 billion, this gets them out into the ballpark of $2.5 to $3 billion. If the thing has to go to trial, they're dead. And so, so what, What makes no sense to me is it feels like, and again, I'm open to this idea that this is public posturing for a negotiation. But to me, it's like, what are you negotiating? She told you flat out, either get this out or I'm throwing it out. The judge is not who you're negotiating with. The judge told you the rules. And to me, it's like I honestly keep wondering, I'm like, is the end game just to have this go to trial, blow it up, and start all over? Like, you declare bankruptcy and you start the new system? I don't think these people are smart enough to do that. Everything that they've done before, like Topmeyer, remember we talked about it with Topmeyer last week, like, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't think that's what's happening, but like, I'm just wondering, this idea of an athlete who leaves or is not retained keeps the current status at the new school. How would they not have the, if you go to a new school and you're on the roster, how do you not have the same status no matter what? You're either on the roster or you're not.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Part of Judge Wilkins' ruling on the original, like the one that came out a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
was also about the timing and the fashion of instituting these roster limits. Am I correct in saying that?
She did open up. She's like, I'm not cool with limiting rosters immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I want something that at the minimum grandfathers. But to me, this is not grandfathering. This is just saying, if you leave the school, you keep your status, which, by the way, you already had. Like, this to me just feels like lawyers
the status? I'm confused by...
Okay, so the status would be you are a... Because now it's going to be either you're rostered or you're not. And that means either you get paid or you're essentially just a student.
Okay.
And so, therefore, paying your own way, lose your scholarship, everything. But if I'm on scholarship at school A, and they decide to not retain me...
Mm-hmm.
I transfer and go to a new school and they do roster me. How is this any different? Because you're not actually solving the problem that she wants. The problem that she wants solved is I don't want people to get cut because of the roster limitations. Essentially, all you're just doing is like, you're basically, you're taking, they used to do this in golf equipment. Companies that were like the hot name and shafts would take the same piece of metal from a previous design and repaint it and launch it as a new program and be like, look at the new and improved shaft. It was the same piece of metal. It was the same thing. Like, all this is just like, we're adding a new title to this, but it's like, we're giving you a new title for status, but we haven't actually changed anything.
Am I dumbing this down, or could this really just be as simple as we're going to start kind of season by season? I mean, realistically, what we want guys to have between 3, and I'm thinking also including draft, because you can become right. draft eligible at 3 years. So if they give them a deadline, okay, we need to get to this 105 number between the next 3 and, say, 5 years,
right.
year by year set of limits, or is that not allowed?
That's what she wants them at the minimum to do.
Why is that hard?
Well, because they say they would bankrupt them. Which, by the way, let me tell you how this is going to go if it goes to trial.
The same thing.
It's unbelievable. Tim, like, it's...
Like, am I crazy?
No, that's why I've been driven insane by this. Like, the fact that they won't just go back and figure out... Like, my deal is, if you can't figure out the accounting for 3 or 4 years down the line, like, you're already dead. You know what I mean? If you're basically saying 100 athletes, paring it down from 100 athletes to, let's go, 65 to 35 to where you eventually phase it out, if you're saying you don't have the money to do that, well, then I don't even understand. Like, the thing that drives me insane is you're saying you don't have the money to do that, but if you're unwilling to do that and you understand your other option is to go to trial and then you have to pay all of this, it's like you're trying to save a nickel, but you're going to, at a certain point, you're going to lose $5.
Right. I guess the net of it all, though, when this it, I guess the question I've had continued to have is, we're going to, are we getting to the point where it's the pool of money is 20 million? Isn't that the number that people have brought up? And you get to determine how you want to split up that money?
George, correct me if I'm wrong. Up to 20 million or some, whatever. Let's say it's 22 million.
20.5 million from the university for NIL deals.
You can spend that.
You can.
But that's not what everyone's going to spend.
Sure.
No.
And there are going to be programs that can easily get to that money.
Correct.
There'll that
be most,
number.
There'll be a lot of programs that will do, like how we're getting to this 40 million number that you said Cignetti was griping about. Notre Dame's going to pay out the 20.5, and then their collective's going to kick in another 20.
Right.
I was going to say, there's no limits when it comes to collective actions.
Except
in this.
They do have to submit their paperwork to corporate NCAA partner Deloitte to make sure it's of fair market value. Which, again, I cannot wait for that to get challenged.
Yeah, there are worse accounting firms it could go to.
Well, like my deal is like the NCAA making sure that like your own, like how is that not a conflict of interest? The company that you're in business with is the one that says yes or no?
Oh, it is.
Like
100% is.
Like this is where like I just wonder, it's like, are these people just so divorced from reality? Like you always hear like the diatribe that academia is like its own little world. It's like, are they really, is it really so true that people think like this is a great plan? Or, as I suspect, there are some people that are like that, but there's also pragmatists involved that are like, we'll let the idiots do the talking for now, but we're just going to figure this out. But the problem is, this thing's due tomorrow.
Yeah, the...
Like, I do think there are some useful idiots, and I think that they're getting paraded around. And because of the culture that we live in, it's whoever says the dumbest thing on either side, that's what we amplify, and we just let everybody argue from there. Like, I do think there are some people that are letting those people talk while they go back and they try to do like the actual work and get the job done, out of the spotlight. The problem is, it still seems to me that there are enough member institutions that are just saying this is a no-go. We're not agreeing to this, and so you're going to just wind up in the stalemate. To which they're like. My whole deal is like you're signing your own death certificate one way or the other. At least if you agree to this, you buy yourself some time to maybe figure out if you can figure out a way off of death row.
I just looked up Labor Day weekend schedule. It's awesome. Yeah. Nebraska, Cincinnati on Thursday, Auburn, Baylor Friday night. It's going to be a good weekend. LSU, Clemson, Bama, Florida State, Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I love the sport.
The games.
I'm nervous.
The games. Well, it's like in the
I'm
end.
I'm nervous about the future because we talked about this a ton last year about expanding the playoff, and then the SEC say, well, we want auto bids. We want four. It's like the people running the sport suck.
Well, and there's
the
no.
Sport is
and there's
awesome.
No. There's no. Centralized leadership. It's literally everybody just fighting. Everyone's acting like there's a zero-sum game, which maybe to a certain degree is true. Like, I think it's debatable, but like I can at least acknowledge there are people going, there's not enough money for everyone.
There isn't. No, there isn't. And look, you know...
Well, what if you come up with new revenue streams?
The big boys are going to continue to eat, and you know...
But this is the other thing I'd point out, Tim. There's not enough money for everyone in the event that we stick with the linear television model that is funding everything. What if that isn't the case? Because this was another great story over at Pro Football Talk.
Oh, God.
I'm a Florio guy. I think Florio is necessary to the ecosystem. Like, everybody needs kind of the crazy uncle. The Senate Commerce Committee has proceeded with a hearing on the pivot from sports broadcasting to streaming without any involvement by the NFL. Parentheses. Commissioner Roger Goodell declined an invitation to appear. In his opening comments, Committee Chairman Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, made a pointed comment about the NFL. He said the league has been, quote, tiptoeing up to the line, end quote, that protects the college and high school football from being diluted by pro football. The line appears in the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1960, which gave the NFL a broadcast antitrust exemption with one key concession. The NFL cannot broadcast games from the second weekend in September through the second weekend in December on Friday night or Saturday. The NFL has tiptoed this rule, quote, said Cruz, now putting a game on streaming on Black Friday afternoon, which used to be a reserved slot for prominent college football rivalries, including in some years Texas and Texas A&M, obviously his constituency. There are millions of sports fans who like being able to follow high school football, college football, and professional football without having to choose amongst them. And it's partly why Congress wrote the SBA in the manner that it did. There's been speculation that with the Republican Party controlling the White House and Congress, the NFL may press for revisions to the SBA that would eliminate the Friday night and or Saturday exception. Given that a prominent Republican senator seems to be firmly in favor of enforcing the limits of the current law, Cruz likely would be against allowing the NFL to broadcast games with the current window that is regarded as off limits. The broader question is whether streaming fits within the SBA at all. That could be a question for the courts, or it could become a subject for further litigation. We just actually figured out what Goodell's plan is. Because if you really are someone out there that believes that he's sticking to this act of Congress from 1960, then you don't know the commish like I know the commish. The commish is pivoting and offering himself, if indeed the world is moving from linear to streaming, the way around this is streaming. Tim, who is going to be invited to bid for the CBS and Fox packages the next time around?
Amazon? Netflix?
Netflix! It's going to be awesome. Because I actually think this is what matters. I think as long as college football is not having to truly compete day after day, week after week with the NFL, I think that it may suck. You may be someone that roots for a team that's not going to be a part of the world, but I think what we've clearly shown is there are so few football games, the menu is limited, that as long as you put games on, we're going to watch them. I don't think that's been debatable. You and I talked about this all fall. The numbers clearly suggest we can gripe and complain about it, but if you put it on, we're watching.
Bowl games, yeah. And bingo. Don't give me UFL, whatever garbage that is.
It has to be in the calendar. Yeah, we're just not trained.
You put on bowl games forever and a day, and I think people have figured it out, but I just used to smash my head on the steering wheel when I'd hear these morons in the, you know, my, where I used to live in DC, be like, what are these bowl games? Why are they even on television? I'm like, are you that dumb? Like 2 million people watch the Potato Bowl because it's just on during the middle of the day during Christmas season.
I think bowl season had a moment last year. I think we might have figured out the actual approach. Everyone got so turned off by the opt-outs. And it wasn't necessarily the opt-outs. Really what people got turned off by was teams that were just clearly punting on a lot of bowl games. And I'm not saying every single bowl game we watched was a work of art. But what you did see was a lot of teams, even if they had a lot of opt-outs, I'll use LSU for instance. The LSU-Baylor game, the Texas Bowl, that was actually a pretty good watch. But what happened was, yeah, a lot of these older guys, they opted out, but it became like a forum for the young guys to go and showcase themselves to either get back in the portal or whatnot. But what we wound up with was a bunch of guys playing really hard. I thought this bowl season was actually sneaky pretty good, and if this is something that's repeatable, I actually think bowl season might low-key be back.
I just think the biggest thing we've got to figure out is the calendar, and we got to figure it out for college basketball. We got to figure it out for college football. Like, it was asinine to me that, you know, teams in the playoff, like Bo Prabula, had to make a decision, and I didn't blame him for leaving Penn State. Well, James Franklin was like, you can't be on our roster if you're someone else. If we could figure out the schedule I think it gets a lot better, to be honest. I mean, we had some really good games, like, all around. You're always going to get duds. And, like, I get it, the Marshall situation.
Tim.
The Marshall, the whole team.
How many games do we watch, like, on an average Saturday, which you and I love, how many great, memorable games do we get a weekend? Five at most?
And that was the thing about the playoff and everyone complaining about the first weekend, how there were no competitive games. Like, it was four games. Like,
well, you and I said it when we came back. The people that were complaining, you could tell, you were telling on yourself if you were someone who's never watched the NFL. If you were complaining about the opening weekend of the playoff, you're like, we were all like, hang around. I got wild card weekend for you.
Sure.
Stick around, buddy. You're about to watch some more and it's going to get jammed down your throat. What? I'm with you on the calendar. The problem, though, is who's solving the calendar?
Oh, I don't. That's the problem, right? No one is. And we have no overlord. Because once again, the NCAA just said, oh, you guys want the portal? All right, here you go. You guys want to make money? Here you go. We're not policing it. And it's just, we don't have anyone overseeing it, you know?
Well, they didn't even really say, you guys want this. The court said, we can't do this anymore. So our hands are tied. Good luck. Sovereignty. Okay, so the Derby had two great moments. Number one, I mean, it really, I did feel like I was living the live golf versus golf journalists all over again when sovereignty beat journalism, because live's still here to stay. But also, there was a laugh out loud funny moment. Did you see the guy that was like a part owner of sovereignty wearing a Mizzou hat?
No.
Like the number one journalism school. And all it's like, man, it feels like you could wear a different hat for that. I get it was raining, whatnot, but like, you own a horse. I'm betting you can afford to go buy some other hat. I guess, though, he just wanted to, hey, school pride. Like, I'm with you. I thought that was great. But now, after having truly a great Kentucky Derby, despite it being the rain, everything, that was an awesome race.
Yep.
Sovereignty has to pull out of the Preakness. The only hope that you have, and I'm sure now this would never happen, because I would imagine you pull out of the Preakness, like you are sending that horse straight to the stud farm. Like, congratulations, buddy. You're about to have like the next awesome 10 years of your life. But
now he's racing the Belmont.
He's racing the Belmont.
Is he?
Yeah, the Belmont. So
is he? That's my thing. Because if you can actually get this, if journalism wins the Preakness, even without sovereignty in the field, if he runs the Belmont, you do have the rubber match. Like, best out of three, and I get it. Sovereignty only ran two of them. My fear, though, is that guy. They're saying right now he's running it. I would be highly suspicious of him running the Belmont. I mean, what does the stud fee go up? Because right now, right, I would presume, George, what, they could send him off for about $20 million a pop? Also, underrated scene from Silicon Valley. One of the most criminally underrated comedies of all time. When Jack, the owner of Hooli, wants to go and see his horse that he bought fertilizing the other horse. Just an all-timer. Nobody does. Nobody makes fun of people like Mike Judge. Y'all think he's going to run?
I think he'll run the Belmont. Because from my understanding...
What is it? Cracked hoof? What do we got?
It's the same... Because it's being run at Saratoga this year, so it is not a longer race. It's the same as the Derby. It's a mile and a quarter. So I believe he'll rest up and he'll run the Belmont, would be my guess. I believe that's what the statement said, as of now. Now, everything's subject
to change.
Okay, but
let's play it out practically.
Mm-hmm.
First off, we don't know what the Belmont field is, and typically, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the smallest field.
I feel like year over year, the Preakness has gotten shorter, but I could very well be wrong on that.
Obviously, last week's always the massive one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I feel like when you get down to the Belmont, like what if he runs and finishes second? Does that change? Like, the only reason you'd be running it, like, let's be real. They're just using this as a, he's not going to make history. I mean, I'd be curious to know, are they planning on running him in the Breeders' Cup? Because maybe if you are planning on still running him in the Breeders' Cup, okay, well, he's going to run again if he's healthy enough. Like, let's go and let's just pad his resume. But normally I feel like when you get the Kentucky Derby winner that drops out of the Preakness, they just go, we're not risking this. We have a Derby winner. And it's really like, I just would like to know, what is the difference between, like, you could talk me into Derby and Breeders' Cup. That makes the fee go up.
So just for Derby winners, I'm seeing $300K plus.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all based on, everyone does the math of like how many times, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, y'all think he's going to run. I mean, I'm rooting for that.
I do. Yeah, I think he'll run.
The viewing audience of the Preakness.
NBC, man. Because they just had.
And did they already get rid of the running of the porta potties? Which is like the ultimate, we can't have fun anymore. Really? We got to get rid of that? Like, it was truly one of like the great degenerate holidays of the year.
Yeah, they've cracked down a bit on the infield debauchery.
Sadly.
But, well, they just announced, right, Kentucky Derby, I think, set an all-time record for viewership for NBC. And it was an awesome race. And 2 weeks later, you've got a chance to kind of promote it, sovereignty, all that stuff. And
well, and think about how
and they don't and they don't have the Belmont. I think that's on Fox now.
Oh, I think you're right.
So
I think you're 100% right. Because
like,
I remember one year I was like, where the hell is the Belmont? And then my horse racing buddy texted me, he's like, it's on Fox. I was like, oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fox Sports for
because
Belmont.
That's like the other thing in horse racing is it's virtually impossible to truly have like an actual rivalry. Like this felt like it was gonna be a rivalry because it was like they both ran great races. They're both great horses. I kind of want to watch again. Oh, man. Oh. Aunt Tarico with a nut allergy didn't even get to do the Baffert interview?
Well, no, he did the Baffert interview.
Okay, so they pre-taped that?
Yeah, that was pre-taped.
Because I was driving. I was listening on. I got home in time. I think the Derby was race 12. Yep. So I got home in time for the end of race 11. And so I did not see it then. That was apparently like a low-key weird scene at Churchill Downs where they've ostracized this guy because, I mean.
Because of cancel culture.
Well, I mean, just, I mean, let's be real, Tim. Like,
totally didn't cheat.
Just, I mean, it's just a shame. Like, he thought he was applying some medicine.
Yeah.
It was the Barry Bonds. I thought it was just the cream.
Cancel culture, man. Gets you
every time. But apparently the scene at Churchill Downs was everyone was like ignoring, like Baffert acted like nothing had happened. Churchill Downs was putting him back in his old stables, like giving him everything. Like, yes, sir, Mr. Baffert, what can we do for you? It's like, didn't y'all just like make this guy a criminal? And by the way, pretty sure every court case he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough scene. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about the games that we got coming up tonight. Take a look at the lines, what we like, what we don't. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tim, we're back in action tonight. I feel like I've done a pretty good job this playoffs of avoiding the SpongeBob SquarePants pick. I'm afraid that trend's going to end tonight because I love the Timberwolves tonight.
Dude, I'll be honest, man. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I find myself betting more because of...
Have you gotten to fading your own brain yet?
I should, because last night I was just of the mindset where I was looking at the two favorites in Boston and Oklahoma City, and I'm like, they're not losing this game. They're taking care of business. And then I had the Cleveland bet that obviously went up in flames on Sunday. I'm trying to mess around with first period unders. Those are all dying, brutal deaths.
Oh, also, thoughts and prayers to anyone that had the under Knicks Celtics last night. At least, I think, for most people, it pushed.
It did, yeah.
But, I mean, the God, fact that it, yeah. That was overtime insurance. Under bettors are people, too.
It's not called undertime.
Sad. So sad when you get bailed out like that.
Yeah, it is. Because it was a dead under game.
Yes.
And now, once again, it did push. On most people. I think there were some 213.5s out there, but yeah, I got super stubborn last night after I saw my first period under go up in flames and Maple Leafs and Panthers. I just begrudgingly
bet. In fairness, that game, I mean, what, there was a goal 13 seconds in. Like,
oh yeah, it was
tough. Not a great start.
Well, it's like, you know, on Saturday night I get to have a rocking chair first period under with Colorado and Dallas. And then I go back to the well.
It was Tim's bet. He was the one that insisted we take it.
And then I go back to the well on Sunday, and Mr. Hellebuck, more like Hella Suck, gave up a goal 33 seconds in. So
George is our hockey guy. I got to know.
Yep.
Is Hellebuck in the playoffs a thing, or is it?
No, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Winnipeg Jets are consistently considered fraudulent once they get to the playoffs, not because the team plays bad, but because Hellebuck plays bad.
All right,
he is a finalist for the MVP of the league.
Yep.
He has a, like, look,
and
go
go look at his numbers in international play. Phenomenal.
Okay, but so what
just
is
the playoffs.
So what is it about playoff hockey? Because I would think if you told me his numbers in international play mirror playoffs, I would get it.
Nope. He's awesome once he puts on the stars and stripes. He's fantastic.
All right, what's that series price?
Jeez.
Dallas is
minus 190. Who's not going to lose? All right, a lot of people are telling me.
I think the Panthers are going to come back and win their series.
Yeah, the problem is I can't parlay. I don't think I can parlay adjusted series, which is very annoying. Because what I wanted to do was. I wanted to parlay. All right, so we got to talk. Do the Caps have a shot?
Do the Caps have a shot to do what? Win tonight?
No, win the series.
Oh, yeah.
So why is this like plus one?
They're like minus $3 to win the series still.
No, the Caps.
Cap.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I thought you said Cavs.
No. Your
dude,
team.
I'll say this. Like, I'm trying to not do my college football stinky line mind on this series, but this line stinks the high heavens because everywhere I turn, like, I think ESPN.com had like 24 folks pick the series. 16 of them picked the Caps, and they're like a plus 160 underdog. I'm just terrified they're going to get smashed.
The numbers suggest that Vegas thinks that this is not that close. And I've talked to my actual hockey friends. George, I think you would agree with this. The Hurricanes are the better team.
Yes.
Top to bottom, yes. Concern with Carolina is health in goal.
Anderson's going to start tonight.
I know Anderson is back tonight. Other issue that we've kind of seen is the Hurricanes, to me, play a very, very specific style. We have seen it now not work in the playoffs the last half decade.
Built for the regular season? Are they maybe analytically driven?
Yeah.
Gotta.
As in, they just throw the puck at the net.
Pucks on net?
That was what the Caps did forever, which was great regular season.
I was talking about this with Giannotto.
Explosive offense, and then they would fall apart in the playoffs.
Yep.
I'm sure if we really, really get down to the nitty-gritty, this OV season wasn't the cleanest.
Oh, he broke his leg.
With that being said, I find the guy infectious. For like the, like,
that's
honestly,
awesome,
like,
man.
Because Mark was making the point, he's like, he's kind of like, he's like the closest thing we have to like the American everyday dude that is actually good. But like the stupid song that they're doing in the locker room, everything he does, the fact that he's literally been here since what, 03? We're going on 23 years in America, and his English has gotten worse. I just kind of love it. Like, it's like he still says Pittsburgh. Like, it's just, it's great. I don't know why. I find the guy so lovable.
You should have heard his interviews early on in his career. His English has come a long way, man.
Here's my thing. As a fan of a team that he is routinely just destroyed, decimated because we're in the same division, can't stand him. On his own, awesome.
And there's also, like, I know it happens more frequently in hockey. There's something about, like, he kind of stuck it out and, like, you know what I mean? Like, he got the title. I don't know. I find myself liking
that title in 18 and then the celebrations that went on after said title. God. I mean, all time.
Oh, that was an all time. That was one of the truly great celebrations.
They put, I believe, in the fountains in Georgetown, which is a really kind of upscale area in D.C.
They love Georgetown.
They have like a plaque.
22-year-old Jeffrey loved Georgetown.
Oh, Georgetown. I mean,
the best.
37-year-old Tim would love Georgetown right now. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's right on the water.
The best.
I hope they dress like me. I'll say this, man. Like, the NHL playoffs, even if you're not a fan of the sport, which I imagine a good chunk of our listeners are not, big fans of hockey, just put it on. Like, the Jets were down 3-1 with a minute and a half to go and won in double overtime.
Well, and
they
then
scored
like,
a goal with
I'm not trying to rub salt into the wounds, but it's like that came on the heels of Colorado blowing a 2-0 lead.
Yes.
I told Tim in real time, I was with my boy. I was in that foxhole. And he had abs to win the series. I took the abs.
Oh.
When they scored the second goal, I wish we wouldn't have. I thought there was something about it being a 1-0 game that was like, I felt better. When it got to 2-0, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be protecting the lead. And that's what it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still find it crazy that Colorado is the only team in that trade cycle that actually lost.
All right. The only bet I'm making there tonight, I'm taking the T-Wolves. I'm laying it.
I'm really contemplating. You mentioned SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm really contemplating doing
the old Moneyline favorites.
the three-leg bounce back parlay.
What could go wrong?
Cleveland to Boston and OKC. I think I might also lay it with Boston. It's getting up there, but I feel like they're going to smash tomorrow night.
When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right. Thanks to Tim. Our today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. We go to the President of the United States, who's meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister today. Love Canada. Lots of respect for the Canadians. You have a very, very good hockey player right there on the Capitals. He's one big tough cookie. Just broke the record. For those that don't know, Ovechkin is Russian, but again, hockey, Canada, I mean, who could blame him?
Tell your story.
And I got to imagine no one's more aware of Putin's guys than 47, right?
Unless he was talking about Tom Wilson. Did he break a record for most fights or something like that?
I will say that a hit was... The hit heard around the world.
Handsome Tom, man. He is a tough cookie. I will say that.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you again later this week.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.